Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our friend Greg Fornelli, who's a new friend to you. You've not met him before. Greg is the president of Stock Car Steel and Aluminum Incorporated. He's the 2003 North Carolina Small Business Person of the Year, chosen by the SBA, one of the top 50 small business people in the country, actually, if you think about it, in the world, and probably also in the universe. And I'd like to introduce you to him right now. Greg Fornelli, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you very much. That sounds good in the world. I like that.
Yeah, or even in the universe. Even in the universe. Right. Hey, Greg, who's going to argue with us, right?
That's exactly right.
Hey, Greg, you've got a very interesting story. You're a very successful entrepreneur and small business owner. Your entrepreneurial story is really an important one that I want you to tell. But before you became an entrepreneur, you were working in the steel industry. You were working as an employee in the steel industry, and you had something on your mind. You felt like there was something that you'd like to do, but before you could do it, you had a little bit of a detour, didn't you?
I did, sir, yep. I had kind of, ever since I was pretty young, I was kind of entrepreneurial. I'd try little things here and there to make money on the side, and always thinking about what I can do to, you know, get some extra income. And so I kind of had that spirit early, but like a lot of people, I didn't have the means to start my own business right away. And through my college days, I worked at a bar and a restaurant. That's where I kind of thought I would do. So I did go ahead and got into the field that my dad knew well, which was the steel industry. He retired from a steel mill, worked for 28 years. So he had I had steel in my family, so I went to work for, you know, a steel company that sold steel. I didn't go the mill route, went to the sales route, because I was kind of good at selling. So, and that's what I thought I would do. I got my master's degree because I still had an inkling to open my own business. Again, thought it'd be a bar or a restaurant or something like that, and then I kind of liked that industry. And then once I got my master's, I got moved out to Charlotte, North Carolina, to work for another steel company. And when I did, I met some racers, NASCAR industry, and I met them all. They all had a problem buying steel. It was hard for them to buy steel. We can kind of get into that later. But I went ahead and opened a division of the company I was working for because I thought that would work. And we started selling to them. That didn't quite work out, so we got out of it. And it was right after that that I found out I had cancer, and it was a form of cancer called mesenchymal chondrosarcoma, which is a real rare form of bone cancer. And I went and had surgery. I went to New York City at Sloan Kettering Cancer Institute up there. My whole family kind of moved up there. I had a one-month-old baby when we found. I just turned 30, had a one-month-old baby.
Kind of put your entrepreneurial plans on hold there, didn't you?
It really did. And but, you know, I didn't put them on hold for long. I went to New York City at Sloan Kettering, and we were up there for about a month and a half, and then came back to Charlotte where I started chemo, and I did chemotherapy for about 8 months. And during that time, I knew I probably wasn't going to go back to work for somebody, and I wrote my business plan.
What made you say that to yourself?
Well, I wasn't all that necessarily happy working the job I left Kansas City for, come here to Charlotte. And I saw, it was a small business. I've been with a big company. I was with Ryerson Steel Company, which is the biggest steel company in the nation in Kansas City, which I just loved. They were fantastic and great training. But it was the corporation. You know, you can see the corporate game there. Then I moved to a small company, and I saw that run, and I thought, I thought in my own mind that, man, I could run this place better than this guy could. Mm-hmm. So, and I saw the pitfalls. You know, I saw what worked. I saw what didn't work. I saw what motivated people, what didn't motivate people, and I just thought I could do it better. So, and when you go through something like cancer, I think, you know, I probably think I would have eventually opened my own business doing something, but the cancer sure put a jump start to it. I just knew I didn't want to go back.
So instead of the cancer sitting you back for your entrepreneurial plans, it actually kind of told you, you know what, I need to get started with this.
I really think it did. I think it moved it up quite a bit. Yeah.
Very interesting. A lot of people, it would have affected them the other way.
Yeah, well, I tell you, the cancer they told me had, well, they didn't want me to find this stuff out. You know, internet, now you can find anything out. It had like a 17% chance of survival.
Wow.
Which is pretty grim, but I never thought myself, I'm not going to survive. You know, I never had those thoughts at all. I always knew, you know, so I wanted to make long-term plans.
Strong spirit.
Yeah, I was always making some long-term plans. You know, a couple of years we'll do this, and then 5 years we'll do that. I was playing ahead. So
8 years. 8 years later, the cancer's gone.
Sure.
And you're the Small Business Person of the Year in North Carolina. What an incredible 8-year period. And I tell you, Greg, I just want to congratulate you not only for your success in the marketplace, not only for being recognized by the SBA as one of the top 50 small business people in America, but also for you finding the strength of spirit to overcome all this, to deal with it, and to come out on the positive side of it. That's really remarkable, Greg, and I'm really proud of you.
Well, thank you very much. And I can tell you it has a lot to do with family and friends. And, I mean, I had a huge army behind me that was fighting with me, and that really helps motivate you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like the story about the about the turtle who was on the top of the fence post. You heard that story?
No, I'm here.
Mr. Crow flew by and said, "Mr. Turtle, how'd you get on top of the fence post?" He said, "Well, it's one thing's for sure, I didn't get here by myself."
That's right.
You know all about that, don't you?
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about your business.
Well, we started out while I was the only employee, and I got a red Dodge pickup truck and an old piece of junk trailer out of the newspaper found. It was a homemade trailer, and I rented a 4,000 square foot warehouse. And I knew the race teams here. We're in NASCAR country up here.
Yeah, I guess we should. I guess we may not have mentioned it. Your business model was to serve the stock car business with custom steel and metal products, right?
Exactly right. Yeah, they were buying, like I said, when I moved up here to be an outside salesman, I had North and South Carolina, and you know, saw all these race teams. I really didn't know that much about NASCAR at the time. I was, you know, from Kansas, from the Midwest. I knew about football and baseball and basketball, but not that much about NASCAR. But you can't miss it in the South. I mean, it was everywhere, especially in Charlotte, North
Carolina.
Especially
in the Carolinas, yeah.
Yeah, it's the home of, you know, 99% of the race teams are based
right
here out of Charlotte.
Right.
So I saw them everywhere.
Greg, hold on to that thought. Folks,
okay.
The company is Stock Car Steel and Aluminum. That's the name of the company. When we come back, I'm going to get Greg to give us his website, and we're going to find out more about his company and how he made it an incredible success. 20 after. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Greg Fornelli is our guest. He's the president of Stock Car Steel and Aluminum Incorporated in beautiful downtown Mooresville, North Carolina, which is hard by to Charlotte, North Carolina, which is in the very heart, the epicenter, the nucleus, the essential location for stock car racing in the world. And you found a good place to go to do business with stock car folks and the NASCAR folks, Greg. Now, your business, by the way, before we go any further, give us your website, please.
It is www.stockcarsteel.com.
Stockcarsteel.com. All right. Now, when you were recovering from cancer, you said, you know what, I think the stock car industry needs somebody to really come in there and give them some customized service and customized products. You saw that niche, didn't you?
That's it. Exactly right. I knew how big steel companies work. You know, I was working for one for 11 years. And the race teams, it's hard to sell these race teams because what steel companies typically like is someone who buys a whole lot of a few different things. You know, a whole bunch of three or four different items.
Right.
Whereas the race team is completely the opposite. They buy a little bitty bit of hundreds of different things.
Right.
So it's so specialized. They all want lightweight stuff. They want light wall stuff. Stuff that's not really used in any of the industry.
But it's got to be special stuff because it's also got to be strong. But they also need it when they need it, and they need it to be customized, don't they?
That's exactly right. So they're dealing with people that have, you know, $300 minimums out there. They're dealing with people that has, you know, some people have sheet metal, some people have tubing, but no one had it under one roof.
Right.
With the customer service that, you know, I love to give. So
as long as the stock car industry has been around, folks, it's been around a long time, no one really had seen this opportunity that you saw.
Exactly right. And as long as they've been around, they've been buying metal. They just has been a hard. It's been a, you know, it was a pain in their butt the whole time to do it. So
I bet you've been a breath of fresh air for that industry, haven't you?
Absolutely right. And I think that's something that all small business people that are thinking about doing is. I think one of the keys to doing it is just if you can make people's job easier, they'll buy from you. That's mm-hmm. the key is just make, you know, that whoever's buying, that's if you can make his job as easy as possible, they'll love you for it. And that's what we've done.
Well, one of the things that I've tried to say, Greg, is give customers, small business owners have to learn how to give customers what they want, not what they need. Your customers want to have a successful stock car, but they need that, but what they want is to have it the way they want it.
Right.
And you found a way to give them that, and now you've got a pretty large chunk of the marketplace, haven't you?
We sure do. We've got pretty, I mean, It's scary. We've got almost 100% of the market share. There's a few teams left that aren't located within, you know, the 100-mile radius that we mostly mm-hmm. serve, and those guys, you know, buy some stuff locally from other service centers, but they still come down and will call from us. So I mean, 100% of the market share out there is buying from us. About 90% of them buying everything from us.
Wow. Well, now, what was the biggest challenge that you had once you recovered from your cancer, and you had your truck and your trailer and it looked like this thing was going to start taking off. It looks like you might make it. What was the biggest challenge you had?
Well, Jim, I'd even say a little bit before that was once I had this business plan written and it was time to get going was getting funds. I wrote what I thought was a great business plan and, sat out there and went and visited the banks. And they all read the business plan and thought, that's a great business plan. And then they're like, well, let's see your personal financial statement. which I would do just like you did. I just giggle a little bit and go, anyway, look at this business plan. and man, I mean, to a T, everyone turned us down. You know, it was just, I was fortunate. I had my father-in-law is an entrepreneur also. And he, I approached him at first with the business plan. He loved it. He said, go out there, hit the banks, I think, as a lesson to me. And then
he wanted you to know how valuable how valuable capital was, didn't he?
Absolutely right. So I, in turn, turned to him, and he, then it was funny. Then it completely did a 180. Then instead of me knocking these bank doors down, the banks begin to knock our doors down.
Uh-huh.
They all
good
want to give us money then.
That's a good feeling.
Yeah, and the best feeling in the world is 2 years ago he's completely off all the notes and yeah. he's out of it completely and I can do it myself now. So
congratulations!
But thank you. He was very kind and
you basically found an angel investor.
Absolutely right.
Even though he signed on the notes with you, that's one way of an angel investor helping you.
That's exactly right. And
there is this one thing about angel investors: they want their money back. They want off the notes eventually.
Exactly right. He went and in the beginning he was an 80% owner of the business and I was 20%. Uh-huh.
You were willing to give up majority ownership of the business in order to get the capital. You believe in it that much.
Absolutely right. Absolutely.
And that's another lesson a lot of people don't understand, folks. If you're going to, if you're as far down from a capitalization standpoint as Greg just told you he was, you've got to subordinate yourself if you really believe in what you have, don't you, Greg?
That's exactly right, and I think it's also important to structure a deal where, you know, even if it is family or whoever the angel is structure a deal where as you reach certain points, you get more of that stock back in your name.
The exit strategy.
Exactly right for the angel investor. I mean, I was lucky because it was family, but you know he didn't want risk, and why he had the risk, he wanted majority ownership as his risk.
He wanted
down,
to make sure that if he had to, he could pull the chains. And,
exactly.
and have a little control. That's understandable.
Right.
Greg Fornelli, the 2003 Small Business Person of the Year for North Carolina and the president and the founder of Stock Car Steel and Aluminum Incorporated. Congratulations again. Thank you very much for being here and for your story.
Thank you, Jim. It's a real pleasure.
Congratulations. I'm really proud of you. Greg Fornelli, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. I'll be right back with Peter Montoya.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.